The following is a message from the pulpit of Parkside Baptist Church in Mesquite, Texas, led by Pastor Mike Wells.
Take your Bible now and turn to 2 Corinthians chapter number 8. 2 Corinthians chapter number 8. It's been a real privilege of ours to be here in this good place, and I appreciate Porterfield preaching this morning. I tell you what, he was wound up, fired up, and he let her go, and I appreciate that very much. And these testimonies up here tonight, I appreciate that. And my wife and I never had children, but we've never been without children. Now, maybe some of you can understand that. It seemed like our home was just filled all the time with children. And we've got a 33-year-old that has been with us 15 years, our church secretary now. I've got a 14-year-old grandson, and I tell you what, that's a challenge. I don't know if I'm going to survive that one. But then we've got another little 7-year-old girl who'll never know who her daddy is. Let me tell you what, this world's messed up. Got a little 1-year-old now who's her first cousin. It's, you know, it's kind of a situation. Let me tell you what, you know, my heart's broken because I was coming out of the church about a couple of months ago, and I pulled out and pulled down the street, and I saw this long-haired, hippie-looking, skateboard-looking kid, and I thought, my, what a shame. Yeah. And the Holy Spirit of God smote me. He said, son, that's why you're here.
Yeah, yes,
amen. That's why we're here. Yeah. You know, if everybody's cleaned up, we wouldn't need a church.
Right.
If everybody's cleaned up, we wouldn't need preachers.
Amen.
Amen. Anyway, if you found 2 Corinthians chapter number 8, if you would stand, I'm going to kind of take a few verses, not read all of this tonight for sake of time. It's talking about the grace of giving and these churches here, what an example they were to giving. But down in chapter 8 and verse number 12, it says, for if there be first a willing mind, it is accepted according to that a man hath, and not according to that he hath not. For I mean not that other men be eased and ye burden. I want you to look at that again. For I mean that other men... not that other men be eased and ye burden, but by quality that now at this time your abundance may be a supply of their want, that their abundance also may be a supply of your want, that there may be equality. And then in verse number 6 of chapter 9, he said, by this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. He that soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Now get these next two words, every man, according as he purposed in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. Then I want to bring a message on why every member of Parkside Baptist Church should take part in Faith Promise Missions, why every member, no exemptions, should take part in Faith Promise Missions. Father, we come again tonight to give you the honor, the glory, and the praise. And Father, what it is a joy to be here in this place and see the good work that you're doing here in Mesquite, Texas, through this church, this pastor, and these people. And Father, my heart just is rejoicing because I see what the potential could be if every member would just let you have your way in this matter of faith promise. God, we're looking forward to the days out ahead when we can hear what great things have been done, because I believe in all my heart that these people want to do that. So, Father, I pray your blessing upon this service. If there's one here lost without Christ, I pray, Father, they might be saved. Just have your way, and we'll praise you for it. In Christ's name we ask it. Amen. And you may be seated. We have mission conferences for several reasons. One of the reasons why we have mission conferences, number one, is to exalt the Savior. Everything that we do should exalt the Lord Jesus Christ. If he be lifted up, he'll draw all men into him, the Bible says. But another reason why that we should have mission conferences is because we want to encourage the missionary. Whether you know it or not, sometimes missionaries are just human. They get discouraged. There's this attitude out of sight, out of mind. I know when our missionary went to Africa, you know, he'd come in and on furlough or whatever it might be, and folks say, oh, how we love you, how we love you. You know, when I looked at their faith promise mission given, it was zero, and I said, boy, you can't love a missionary that way, amen. A lot of people up front say it to their face, but when they're gone, and that we need to encourage the missionary. Everything we do in our mission conferences to encourage missionaries, we want them to go away and say, boy, it sure was good to be in that church, amen. I think a couple years ago that, and this may be, these were young missionaries, and this was the first time out, and they were good friends, and I think they sent one missionary ahead to look in the church, and we had some things set out. And I think he ran back to his missionary friend and said, "Hey, this is a good one." We had something, they were evaluating our mission conference, what they saw. But, you know, that's all right, because I want them to know, hey, and by the way, I want them to go down the road and tell other folks, hey, Central Baptist Church is a good church. You'll enjoy being there, but we ought to encourage the missionary. And number three, well, we want to energize the saints. The saints of God must be energized, amen, to do more than we've ever done before, amen? Then we want to enlist new givers and new goers. God is calling. Amen. There's not a whole lot of folks answering the call. It's like today that I don't know about you, and on our phones we have caller ID. We can tell who's calling. I tell our folks, when I sit as a church member, I just don't want to answer it. That's just, you know, but that's not true. But, you know, a lot of times what happened, God is calling, and we know it's God calling, and we're not wanting to answer the call that God has for us. But there's four reasons why they ought to have a mission conference. And I'm going to tell you what the Lord has allowed us to do there in a little country church. And it's not that he that compareth himself to others is not wise. But I want to do so. I want to encourage you, because what I see is potential. And that's what we ought to look for. What is the potential? And the one thing that we've got to get straight in our life is we've got to get our priorities straight. I think we've got a lot of good people, but we don't have a priority straight. And Matthew 6:33 says, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, that all these things should be added unto you." And it's not the fact that God's against us having some things, but he's against things having us. And if we just get our priorities straight, it's unbelievable what God could do in our churches through our missions program. Amen. That ought to be what I say, numero uno. Right? That's my Spanish. That's the lesson. But it ought to be numero uno in our church. Amen. And over the years, and we've been there almost 29 years, and God's been so good. I can't believe I have to pinch myself all the time when I look around and say, "God, you've sure been good." And by the way, God's always good. Amen. It's always good, whether we see it or not. But we've had the privilege of supporting over 110 missionaries for many, many years, and our people give, and I'm bragging on our people. I'm bragging on God, because every week they give a little over $2,000 a week to missions. You say, "Well, don't they have other needs?" Oh, yes, they have other needs. We have a building program going on, and they give above the faith promise. And I'm not talking about this is above. This is after the tithe. Amen. This is the giving part, and they give around $2,000 to missions. They give another $1,100 to the building program. And they give another $200 or $300 every week to the bus ministry. We don't support the bus ministry from our missions or from our general fund. It's a special offering. And you say, "Well, why, preacher? You must run thousands." I wish I'm chasing thousands. But you say, "Well, what are you running?" Well, last Sunday we had, I think if we put our buses together and everybody we could pull in and scrape in and have a big day and everything, I think we had about 170. Amen? And that's not a great number. But let me tell you what, we serve a great God. And the thing I found out, that where God is limited, and by the way, that we limit God, because what we say is, "Can God provide a table in the wilderness?" And we put God in a can. Let me tell you what, I serve a great God. I serve a God who stepped out and spoke the worlds into existence, amen? I mean, God has it all under control. And I think that our problem is we begin to look around like Peter. You know, Peter walked on the water. Amen. Jesus wasn't the only one. Peter walked on the water. But when he got and looked at all the circumstances and looked, the wind was boisterous, he began to doubt. And if we're not careful, church, what we'll do is we'll begin to look around and we say, "Well, we've got so many other things to do and so many things to get done." But I'm telling you, first, if we'll get our priorities straight, if we'll put first things first, those things will fall into line. We began that building program about 8 years ago, and I don't want to go through another one. It took about a year. That they told us it's going to take about 5 weeks to get this thing to put together where y'all are going to work on it. A year later, we were still working on it. Amen. But I told our folks, I said, "Folks, if we have to drop one missionary, we're not going to build this building." Amen. And we voted that night before we voted to build the building, that we voted to take on two more missionaries. And by the grace of God, we have never had to go backwards in that. Amen. Because the priority is God's priority. The priority is what God said. He had one son and he made him a missionary. And he sent him to this sin-sick world to be a missionary. That's God's priority. It's not against buildings. It's not against making them look nice. God didn't send us to build buildings. It's okay to build them or to make them look nice. God sent us to reach the world with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. We must get our priorities straight. And I look over this crowd and I say, right here. And you're here, I believe, because you love God. I believe here because you love your church. I believe you're here because you want to do something for God. And we need to quit making excuses why we can't do it. Well, preacher, we got all these other things. That's fine. We can do all those other things. But we must put first things first. And missions is at the very heart of God. I mean, I've been saved 42 years, and I've been in missions for 42 years. This is all I know. And I thank God I was blessed when I got birthed in the family of God. I got in the church that believed in missions, amen. And I worked for the VA hospital. I had 2 weeks vacation. And the first thing I started doing is going to youth camp and going to the mission field. We'd go to Monterey Mission Field year after year after year. And let me tell you what, mine affected my heart. And if you want to get a burden for missions, and I'm certain maybe some of you have, go to the mission field. I'm not just talking about right here, your bus routes to the mission field. Sure, let me tell you what, there's a missions field. If you'd save your money and your preacher, I'm sure he'll take you. He might even send some of you. Amen. I've got some I'd want to send to the mission field. And praying, Lord, don't let them come back too soon. Amen. But anyway, you know, we just got to get our priorities. And God says here, and by the way, does the Bible not, and by the way, we're King James Bible believers. Now, wait a minute before you start shouting. We say we're King James Bible believers. But do we really believe what we're saying? Because if we believe what we're saying, then we must believe every word. Man should not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. And Paul said right here, every man, every woman, every boy, every girl. God wants every member of this church, amen, involved in faith promised missions. You say, well, I don't have, don't go there. Don't even get me stirred up. I'll start talking about your gadgets. Amen. You got enough gadgets in your purse or whatever. Well, you guys don't have purses. But anyway, you've got enough gadgets that would support a missionary. Amen. Just hadn't got your priorities straight. Amen. Matter of fact, we'd all start a layer of purses up here on the altar sometime and go through them and see what you got. Amen. Folks, God has blessed us. Amen. And Center Texas, and as he was talking about Brother Hughes and what a testimony that was, how that God, when God used John Rawlins to start that church in Center Texas, 1948, and how they had a six-week revival, tent revival, that ended up being the Central Baptist Church, and how they baptized 150 folks and reached the Hughes family. But let me back that up a little bit further to just show you how important prayer is. That church was birthed because of a mother in Tyler, Texas, went to John Rawlins and said, pray for my son who is in Center Texas. And he was starting churches all over East Texas. And he said, why don't you just go to Center Texas and start a church? A lot of folks didn't want to go there. It was a hard town. But it was birthed because of a mother in Tyler, Texas, who wanted to pray for her son. And because she wanted to pray for her son, a church was birthed. And because a church was birthed, a family was reached. And from that family, a ninth grade dropout. Bob Hughes was a ninth grade dropout. Amen. Who, when God got a hold of him, came back and went to Bible college, was a valedictorian. God got in his heart. And I tell you what, he went back to the Philippines in short notice. And the rest is history. But my friend Bob Hughes went to glory almost 40 years ago. He had 44 years of age, just in the height of his ministry at 44. Somebody needs to step up. Somebody needs to fill those shoes. We don't need to sit here and be fed and fed and fed. As someone said, you know, we've heard about the second coming for hundreds of times, but half the world's never heard about his first coming.
Amen.
We need somebody to say, here am I. Send me. God will use you. If you just be willing, just be available. But folks, somebody needs to go. Amen. And I know we all can't pack up and go, but God's still calling. Amen. Every member. And by the way, it said they first gave themselves over there in that chapter. That's the key. The key is you must first give yourself. A lot of people don't know what the specific will of God is because they've never surrendered their life to God. Oh, they've been saved. God saved me in 1973. And as I began to get in church, I went to the preacher. I said, preacher, how do you get in the bus ministry? He said, you want to do? You want to get in the bus ministry? Nobody just volunteers like that. But, you know, I played five sports in high school and lettered in four of them. The place I hated worse than any other place in the world was on the bench. Now I always thought if anybody wanted to sit on the bench, they're losers. Amen. Matter of fact, my coach put me on the varsity in basketball, and he put me on the bench. I said, coach, I'd rather play on the junior varsity than sit on the bench on the varsity. Amen. I mean, that's where losers want to be. Those who want to just sit in the pew and do nothing but critique the preacher. Amen. God didn't make us for a pew. God made us for a purpose. And that purpose is to reach the world with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't be satisfied on a pew. Amen. Get up. Do something. By the way, if you don't do it here, you won't do it there. And I tell you what, the best place to prepare for the ministry is the bus ministry. Amen. I tell you what, I still rejoice in those days in Bonham, Texas, going on those South Bonham across the tracks and all those, and reaching those boys. I still remember those. Matter of fact, I met one of them in prison one time. Didn't reach him too good. I guess I got him. I saved him. And I still remember. And this is for. I'm going back. Listen, I was born before TV. She's thinking, how long ago was that? It was a long time ago, sister. I think I was even born before Big Macs. I mean, we're talking about old. Some of you guys are there too. You've been back there. You know, and by the way, life was a lot simpler before that. Before TV and all that shenanigans going on. Let me tell you what, God has a place. He's waiting. He's just wanting. He's willing. Somebody needs to step up this week. A mission conference is just not to say, hey, I'm going to give some money. See, here's our problem. We think that giving our money satisfies God. I don't satisfy God. Anybody can give money. Amen. But you must first give yourself. God saved me in 1973. Started going to camp. Started going to the mission field. That second year after I'd been saved, I went to Monterrey, Mexico. We had driven all that Sunday afternoon, stopped down near Austin, Texas, had church on the side of the road, and we drove all night to the border, blew an engine, all those wonderful things happened. Drove all the next day, all Monday, to get to Monterrey, Mexico, the old highway. Stayed up all day long. On Monday, we did a lot of things. Monday night, we had church service. And I tell you what, God was dealing with me. And they sang that song that night about 9 o'clock, take me, break me, mold me, or make me. I want to do thy will, O Lord. Well, I tell you what, I was there, and I just couldn't stand any longer. And I shot down. I said, I want to do whatever, God, you want me to do. Just take this life. And see, what I did then, I surrendered. And it wasn't long after that God showed me what he wanted me to do. But see, until you surrender and yield your life, you're going to be wondering. You can be saved, but God wants a surrendered heart. God, whatever you want me to do. Don't tell God this or that. Just say whatever. He knows why he made you. And God wants some folks to go to the mission field. Amen? And I know America's a mission field, but both in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and the uttermost parts, God's looking for some young people. Listen, young people, if you don't step up, we're gone. Amen? We're gone if you young people don't step up. I mean, look at this old gray hair. Some of them don't have any hair around. Amen? And it's not going to be long. The Bible says we've got, what, 70? My 70's gone and half my 10's gone. Amen? And it ain't going to be long. I'm going to be on borrowed time. And some of you will be too. Your preacher's getting older and older all the time. Somebody has got to step up. Folks, we've got more missionaries coming home. I think a lot of times they get over there and the wife says, there's no Walmart. I'm going home. I don't know whatever reason, but they're coming home. We need folks to go. Amen. In all the world. Folks, it's not the way to correct this ISIL problem and Islam problem, all these things, is it was the gospel of Jesus Christ. Get them saved. And the reason why they're taking over the world is because we're not doing our job. Every member of Parkside Baptist Church, God said in Acts 2:1 with one accord. Acts 2:46, continuing daily with one accord. Psalms 133:1, behold how good, how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. He said, for the Lord commanded the blessing, life forevermore, the blessing from unity. God wants us working together. The family of God, amen. I've watched a lot of football games. And let me tell you what happens when the football team all gets set, and there's always seemed like one dummy, yeah, man, or one stupidy, just before they hike the ball wants to jump off sides. And you know what they do? They penalize the team. They penalize the, there's a year, I've seen the Dallas Cowboys since they first began. You talk about old. And I told our young people, you know, until this year, I said, you don't, if you're 16 years old or young, you don't know what a good Dallas Cowboy team is. You have to watch the classics. Amen? I'm just trying to find out who has TVs. That'll bring me to another point here in a minute, amen? 50-foot, nothing for missions. Oh, it got me on that one. But there was a year, those guys in the playoffs, about every time they, before they hiked the ball, there's that dumb lineman jump off sides, 5 yards back, 5 yards back. That ain't going forward. And that's what happened in our churches. We're a team. And God wants every, there's no I in team. God wants every member of the team. I tell our folks, I said, listen, if you don't have anything to give to missions, come to me. I've got a dollar I'll give you. So you can put in just to prove what side you're on. Amen. No one's taken me up on that yet because they may be scared to. But the success, I believe, of that church in Center Texas, the fact that we have almost 90-something percent of people give something to missions. Amen. And that is amazing. But the key to success, I'm looking out here and saying, wow. There's more than 170 maybe right here. What this church could do is unbelievable. And I tell you what, once we get the priority straight, and I believe your church has it right, and once we get a hold of this thing, the other things will take care of themselves, amen? And this year, I guess, at the time that we've been here, God's given us almost $3 million. That may be a whole lot to some folks. But for us, for $3 million over those 29 years, that's a blessing. Amen? Our church building is valued at $2 million. At the time we built that, we had given $2 million to missions. I said, look there. We took care of the missionary. And look what God's given us, amen? My God shall supply all your need according to His riches and glory through Christ Jesus. Let me help you missionaries out. Paul had one supporting church. You remember he said that in Philippians? He said, you're the only one. Amen? Missionary, listen to this, and I know you mean well, and thank God for you, but a lot of missionaries are depending on churches and what they get as support to get them the mission field. You better depend on God. Amen? Not trying to burst your bubble, but let me tell you what, you better depend on God, because God's going to get you there, and God's going to keep you there, amen? Let's look here quickly tonight, why every member should have a part in faith promise mission. Number one, the command of the Savior. That's our responsibility. We have a responsibility. We're living in a generation where the men will not take their responsibility serious. Amen. And that's why we have the homes we have and how we have done what we have today. It's because the man will not take his responsibility serious. Paul said, I'm a debtor. Let me tell you what, one thing I believe with all my heart is you ought to pay your bills. You ought to pay your debt. And it just gets my crawl going sometimes. I have folks who don't pay their bills. In Christian school for 45 years, you wouldn't believe. I guess you might. Who it is sometimes that don't pay their bills. Amen. Maybe it's some of those who amen the loudest. You know, you're not a good Christian if you don't pay your bills. You're a bad testimony. And that's one thing that we try to do all the years in Center Texas is make sure that our church pays their bills on time, every time. Amen, folks, we have a responsibility. He said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. If you're opposed to missions, you're opposed to the will of God. Number two reason why that every member should be because of the condition of the world. The world is in rebellion against God. Look, the Jehovah Witnesses, the Mormons, the Muslims, they've got more tenacity than we do. We have the truth. The Muslims set a goal a few years ago, Al-Qaeda, that in a certain number of years, they're going to fly their flag over the White House. They had seven steps. They're in step number five right now, and every one of them has been done. That's shocking. But it's true. Just look around what's going on right now. Folks, this world is in rebellion against God. The Sodomites. Amen. The abortion crowd, 57 million babies butchered. Folks, I don't understand why it's outside the grace of God that we're even afloat today. But I still believe it's because God wants one more. I believe it's because there's a remnant of folks who are praying and believing God. You know what God asked for when it came to Sodom and Gomorrah? He was looking for 10 righteous men. 10 righteous men. He couldn't find 10 righteous men to pray. That's what we need in our churches. Prayer warriors and missionaries will tell you this. Before your financial support, I want your prayer support. E.M. Bounds says it's the prayers of the supporting churches, the home churches, that keep the missionary on the field. It's the home churches. It's our prayer life. Amen. We need to get a hold of God. It's the condition of the world is in rebellion. It's not the White House, the schoolhouse. It's the church house. God said, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray. Another reason why every member should be a part is because the call, the regions beyond. And over in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, we won't go there. But he said, when your faith is increased, we can take the gospel further. And that's why you ought to increase. Because there are still areas and places the gospel has not been reached yet, amen? And we need to increase and go forward, increase your faith. And when you increase your faith, you'll increase your giving. By the way, you gave last year, didn't you? Did God disappoint you? Or did you go without some food? Is there a problem here? There's an old, and he said 42 years. How do you determine? Well, we had an old-time preacher from this area named Fred Vaught. Some of you may know him. I think he's in glory today. But I had Jerry McDonald was supposed to preach our mission conference, and he's the only one that's ever had to cancel out. Something came up. And so I called someone. They said, well, why don't you get Fred Vaught? And Fred Vaught was an older man. He was sick, but his wife drove him down there. And that Sunday morning, he preached for 5 minutes. He preached to the little boy that had a lunch. All of a sudden, the Holy Spirit of God got a hold of me. He said, why don't you give part of your grocery money? That boy gave his whole lunch. And I think about that time, I don't know, we had about $120 allocated every week to groceries that I gave my wife. And I tell her, and you ladies like that, I said, if you don't use it all for groceries, you can spend it any way you want to. If you know how high groceries are, it goes pretty fast. But the Lord spoke to my heart, and I committed 20% of that grocery money for our increase to Faith Promise that year. I weigh 235 pounds. I have not lost. I did not do without. I don't think I missed a meal I didn't want to. Amen? But I knew that God had said, hey, that little boy gave his lunch. By the way, Fred Vaught preached for 5 minutes. He couldn't go any further. But God got a hold of my heart. You know what we want? We want this week to God to get a hold of your heart. We need to start listening to that still, small voice. God is speaking to you. He wants every member. Amen? And if you want to be successful, if every member did something, you're going to far surpass what you think you ought to have given, amen. Go way beyond that, but first give your heart to God. There's a call, amen. That's the regions beyond. In the early 1990s, we went to Belarus, and I mean, it was wide open. I mean, God opened that window, and thousands were saved. Now, that window closed. We went back later, and it was closed tight. But I remember, and everywhere we preached, on the street corners and the hospitals and the parks, and folks gathered and folks got saved. And at one street corner, I remember I was looking up. Kind of reminds me of the missionary over here has that 9'10" giant over there for a son. With 19-inch shoes or whatever big they are. I mean, that Goliath. And I looked up at that guy, and through an interpreter, he said, "When you'll have to leave, we've never heard it like this before." And for the first time in my life, I was speechless. I usually have something to say. But I thought, what could I tell him? And then I kind of uttered out some few words. We're sending more preachers back. We got churches to go pastor. But they had never heard it. And here we sit in our pews. We hear it week after week after week. How God loves us. And Jesus came and died for our sins. And is coming back again. And here's folks for 70 years in bondage. Said, we've never heard it. And by the way, I tell you what, you want to, young people, listen to me. I think if I had one more life and I was your age, I would beg God to let me go to a mission field. When I go to the Philippines, and I mean, I get fired up. I mean, tell you what, they sit there, and you know how it is. They'll preach you slapped to death. Amen. Work you to death. And let me tell you what, that 2,643 got saved. We didn't come home saying, boy, we feel good. Man, we were tired. That's work, amen. But I come back, my wife says, you just need to settle down. Because I got to come back and preach to Americans. And bless God, they shall not be moved. Yeah. They're going to sit on their blessed assurance. They ain't going to get a holy grunt out of them. Yeah. Amen. You go over and preach that same message, they'll swing across the rafters. Not literally, but they'll get excited. My wife says, just settle down. So I don't want to settle down. Man, I'm too stinking old. Amen. I want to be fired up when Jesus comes. Amen. I like what the preacher said the other night to us. He said, you know, that 3 score and 10. He said, if you talk about these racetracks, you got one out here in Dallas, the 500, Texas 500. He said, on the last lap, they're not pulling in, changing their tires. He said, the last lap's when they usually blow their engine. I looked at my wife and said, I'm on the last lap. I'm fixed to blow my engine. Amen. I don't want to sit on a bench and rust out when Jesus comes. I mean, I want to just be on the go when he comes again. Amen. Or go out in a flaming, well, I better not say that. Maybe a truck, this icy road. But like a flaming chariot. Be on fire for God. Man, I tell you what, young people. You want to do something exciting? Don't sit around America doing this. Well, the world's going to hell. Amen. I mean, get you a life. I mean, get you somewhere where God can use you. Amen. And get on fire for God. God used a 9th grade dropout, I mean, to build one of the greatest churches today that this generation has ever seen and has reached over 5 million people in their saturation. What can God do with some of you educated folks? He didn't even go to a Christian school. He went to a Christian college, but not a Christian school. Amen. Our problem is we limit God. We start telling God why we can't do it. Well, preacher, you don't understand. Yeah, God understands. Amen. And what limits God is that when we say God can't do it, God can do it. Amen. He made us to do it through us. Amen. The call is the regions beyond the choice. Why we should give because of choice others have made to go. That's our resolve. That's our fixed purpose, amen, that we must. In Acts chapter 13, the church came together. And they put the hands on those two, and they sent them out. That's with prayer and provision, amen. And by the way, listen, just because you support a missionary, that don't stop there. It's ongoing. Don't throw him out there, amen. I mean, what was it William Carey said when he asked, who'll go? He said, I'll go, but you must hold the rope. Now, I've seen a lot of folks do this. I mean, they send the missionary go out one end of the rope, and they take it, and after they get out of sight, what we do is we drop the rope down. Or we throw the rope in and walk off somewhere. Right. Let me tell you what, we need to hold. It's a teamwork.
Right.
It's every member. They've got one in the rope, and we've got one in the rope right here. And by the way, you're just as important
right.
as that missionary is.
Right.
Because that missionary cannot do his work if we don't do our work.
Right.
Amen? And that's what it's got to be. Every member has got to be in their place. Amen? The choice others have made. That's why it's so very, very important. In response to the question again, who will go down? William Carey responded, I will. But you must hold the rope. And again, the cost to send a missionary. Folks, I had a missionary. He told me one time he went to church. He got nothing. I mean, no love offering, nothing. So he goes out to his car, and he takes the gas cap off, and he goes, God bless you. He puts that back on. Do you understand that, folks, that a God bless you won't get you to the next church? A God bless you, and it sounds really good. Let me tell you what, it takes some cold, hard cash. Amen. And by the way, the more you, God's going to take care of you. Let me tell you what it cost. I have an envelope right here with a Central Baptist Church heading on it, and it's addressed to a lost soul, so-and-so street, somewhere in the world, you know, an address. Inside this envelope is a gospel tract. And faith comes to hearing, hearing by the word of God. And they must hear the word of God, be saved. Bob Hughes got saved as a response to reading a gospel tract. And got into convict because of the word of God. I know a missionary that's Sean Lundy in Brazil right now. A good Catholic boy. Somebody put a gospel tract on his car in Oklahoma City. He read that, threw it aside, read it again, and got saved.
Amen.
Went to the Independent Baptist Church, said, what time's Mass?
Amen.
Amen. But what I'm saying is, they got saved. But let me tell you what, I could drop this in the mailbox. Can I tell you something? It's coming back. Why? Anybody tell me why it's coming back? No stamp. They ain't going to send it through. And by the way, if you ever notice anything, stamps are going up. It costs more next year and next year and next year. It's going to cost more. That's why we must increase. But it costs something to get our missionary on the field. He's very important, amen? And we need to do our part. That's the resources that we have. Let me just, I've got a few minutes to kind of meddle here. But we say so many times, preacher, we cannot afford to do anything for God. And again, let me ask you, how much does that iPhone cost? We have smartphones and stupid people. Amen? Really is. Because we sit there all day long, look at that stupid thing. And you don't give anything to missions? By the way, I'm not trying to make friends. I'm out of here pretty soon. iPads. Oh, but preacher, everybody needs one of those. Let me get down to really where the rubber meets the road, and I'll get behind one of these big guys over here. How much did you spend, ladies, on your lipstick? And nothing to missions? You care more about your lips than you do about the lives of someone's lost? And I just kind of looked around sometime. I don't wear lipsticks. I don't know. I've seen some guys that wear pink shirts wear it, but that's not me. But I know some of that lipstick's pretty expensive. Amen? I mean, Mary Kay's not driving what she's driving. But what I'm saying is, what is your priority? And I know the old adage, you know, well, no barns need to be painted. You know, if they need to be painted, paint them. But you'd be surprised, young ladies, how much prettier you look with the face God gave you, just clean and pure. Amen. When I read my Bible, I find it was Jezebel that painted her face. It's a mission conference. Then she took half a day painting her face and half a day going on the warpath. Amen? Anyway, I'm just saying, It's a shame the world's dying and going to hell, and we're spending money on stupid stuff. Amen. We got to have the latest. There are 40-year-old men that sit in line for hours every year to get the latest toy that's coming out. Something's wrong with our society. And I'm not talking about the world out there. I'm talking about church members. Amen. Might be good that somebody just brought some of those toys and put them on the altar this week. Why should every member, and I got to hurry, the cry from hell. Let me tell you what, if we could just hear it. The remorse that one day, and the Bible says that God's going to have to wipe away all our tears. And someone said this, and I think there's some truth to it, that at the great white throne judgment bar of God, where all the lost will be brought up and be sentenced, that we may be back there somewhere seeing that. Seeing our mother or father or brother or sister or co-worker who we had the opportunity to witness and we didn't do it, didn't take the time, and it's going to cause tears. And God's going to have to wipe away those tears in our remembrance. There's going to be some remorse. It's amazing to me how that man in Luke 16 in hell had more a burden for lost souls than what we have. I think he could tell you all the money he amassed in his lifetime didn't help him one bit when it came down to eternity. If he had it all to do over again, he would have changed his priorities. Not only is it the cry from hell, our remorse, why every one of us, the crown to be won. We say, I pray, that's rewards. He said, I don't want a reward. I do. I want to earn a crown to cast at Jesus' feet. Amen. Because that means that we've done something for him. It's not for our glory, it's for his glory. Amen. Another reminder here that we have why we every member should be involved is the cross of Calvary. Folks, how could we not look in our mind's eye? And I've had the privilege of four times being in that empty tomb and seeing Golgotha there and thinking about how they took my Savior and how because of my sins and your sins, how they literally stripped him bare and plucked his beard out and put that crown of thorns on his head and the cat of nine tails just ripped his back out and put him up there in shame for all the world to see. And he did that for me and you. Because he loved us. And is it asking so much that we give a little bit of what he has given us to reach the ones he was dying for? Folks, one day we're going to give an account. And God's not going to be impressed with how many gadgets we had. Amen. He gave us what he gave us to reach a lost and dying world with the gospel. That's why every one of us, every man, the cross of Calvary is that constant reminder. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 5, for the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but to him which died for them and rose again. Our purpose here is not to build us a kingdom. And look what we've done. It's not what we've done. It's what he's done for us. If he bled and died and did all that for me, how much more should I not do something for him? And the last one I want to give you, why every member of Parkside Baptist Church should be a part of Faith Promise Missions, is the consequences of not doing what God said to do. That's the regrets, folks. Number one, the Savior is disobeyed. Amen. Did he not say go into all the world, preach the gospel? Everybody says, I'm not called to preach. Well, that word means proclaim. In Acts 8, they went everywhere preaching the gospel. The Savior is disobeyed. The sinner is doomed. The world remains in darkness. One of the heroes I like to talk about is Bill Borden. You know, whenever Bill Borden said that in his Bible, that when he gave his millions away, he said no reserves. That when his dad said, don't hire him, don't let him come back to work, he had no retreats. They found his Bible after he had died at 25 years of age, had no regrets. I don't know about you, but I want to meet my Savior one day and have no regrets. Amen. And I know there's a whole lot more I could do. Let me tell you what, if you're not doing anything, and you've never been involved in faith promise mission, start somewhere. And you'll find out as you obey God in faith, by the way, God will honor faith. It pleases God. And when you do something in faith for God, at the end of the next year, you'll find out, hey, God took care of me. And by the way, you don't have to wait till next year to increase it. You can be looking at that and say, you know what, God's done this and God's done this. I want to increase it next month. And your preacher won't get mad. I mean, he won't get mad if he says, hey, we'd take on another missionary in the middle of the year. Ain't nothing wrong with that. Amen. Every man, every woman, every boy, every girl of Parkside Baptist Church, God's Word, and we say we believe the King James Bible. Amen. And we're not getting so many shouts right now once we read it. But it said every man. It means every one of us should do something. From the smallest child, as he said the other night, the parents help them with it, but you better teach them now. And when they grow up to be adults, they'll say, this is what we always been doing. Every man.
Thank you for joining us today. For more audio or video content, you can visit our website at parksidebaptist.org.